Lord, thank you for your word. Let's pray for the word. Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for giving us the truth. You are the truth. So, Lord, as we read it this morning, Holy Spirit, take what belongs to the Father and reveal it to your hearts. Rebuke us, correct us, equip us for godliness. We are so thankful, Lord, that you love us enough to give us words that would keep us on the narrow road. Lord, I pray that you'd use me as I prepare, but I know unless you speak, we've got nothing. So, Lord, I just give you this next couple of minutes. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so open your Bibles in Revelation chapter 2. I do not have a slide, so Josh is probably going to work with me a little bit. We're going to go through our Bibles, or your phone, or your iPad, if you have your computer, or we're going to have it on the screen. And let me remind you again today, it does not matter what version of the Bible you read. Now, I understand that English is my third language, so thank you for your grace and your mercies, and for the way you support, you know. But I'm also proud, because most of you only speak English. You know, and I know some of you can barely speak it, but I'm... So, thank you for your grace, you know, especially sometimes when I write, supposed to be writing T-E-A, and I wrote T-E-E, you know, I got the message, okay, well, I got the message. I'm no golfer, okay? So, but seriously, it can be a challenge, but if, for those of you that have been here since I have arrived, can you give God a round of applause, because I've gotten better. Come on. I feel like I can communicate a lot better in English, you know, and I don't have to strive for the words, okay? So it doesn't matter what version of the Bible you read, you know, and I know some of us, you know, we love the King James Version. If you love the King James Version, bring it to church, okay? If you love the New King James, make sure you have it. If your passion is the NLT, you know, do it. I have tried every version in English. As a matter of fact, on my iPad, in my iPad and computer, I've got probably 10 versions of different English and different French and Creole and stuff, the language I speak. But I find out the NLT is a lot easier for me to read it, okay? And I compare it, you know, I go back to the Greek and the Latin and all that stuff. I look for the words, making sure, you know, don't read. I know some people, they argue, you know, this is like watered-down version. Listen, even if you read a watered-down version of the Word of God or someone's interpretation, if you are devoted to apply those words in your life, you will succeed in your life. But if you're reading the New King James and it's just laws up here and you're not applying it, you're fooling yourselves. So if the word New King James or the Passion or the Message, whatever version you read, says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, you shouldn't abuse it. And if you are abusing your body, guess what? It doesn't matter what version you're reading. What matters is how you're applying this in your life. Okay? So remember this. We are a place of love, acceptance, forgiveness, and honor. So where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom, right? So freedom to read whatever version you feel you're comfortable with. But just make sure you're applying it in your life. But as for me, I like the New King James and the NLT. So I'm going to read Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 from the NLT. The message to Thyatira, an overly tolerant church. Today is part one. I'm going to talk about the corrupt church. Actually, you know what? I think I have this in the NLT, in the New King James. Sorry, Josh. It says, "And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works. Underline this in your Bible. And remember this. It says, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first, so there is progress. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who call herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality. She did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches, underline, the minds and the hearts. So God searches your heart and your mind. He knows you. He knows me. And I will give each one of you according to your what? Works. Underline that again in your Bible. Now to you I say, and you here, each of you here, and to the rest, this letter is addressed to Thyatira, but in our context, to everybody listening, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. Now I'm going to repeat that. Hold fast what you have till I come. These are the words of Jesus. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end. Now, how many times you've seen works in this? I don't know if you were paying attention. This is what? How many times? Look, help me look. How many times you see the word works? One, two, a lot. Okay, I take that. Hey, you know what? That's fair. A lot of works. But seriously, there is a lot of work. So therefore, there is a lot. Jesus is putting a lot of emphasis on your works. Okay, hang on. All right. So, and also, let me finish this. And he who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, somebody could ask me, is like, well, how come the Lord's talking about works? I thought your works doesn't save you. Now, remember, your works doesn't save you. But then if you say you have faith with no deeds or good works that can prove that your faith is genuine, well, you don't have no faith. And other people could be like, well, I have good works. What are some good works? You know, people donate money. People could serve their community. People, you know, they don't steal. Sometimes people say, well, I'm a good person. I'm going to heaven. You know, I'm a good person. I should inherit eternal life. There's nothing you can do that will give you, that will put you in heaven beside believe in the Son, Jesus Christ. Unless you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Christ came to redeem you from darkness, there is no life. There's nothing you can do. You know, I thought this week, one of the things I was meditating on, there's no time for us to be Baptist, Amish, Mennonite, Presbyterian. Come on, guys, there's no time to be Pentecostal. Unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus, you are doomed. Unless you're following. You see what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? Following. I always remember this. Following. In one of our ministry school, Rodney was preaching. I was talking about this. Ryan, come here, follow me. I think I did that with Heidi. Oh, Heidi just went out. So just a funny example, right, guys? I said, Ryan, you follow me, Ryan. Okay? They're probably wondering where I'm at. I know some of you are probably wondering, well, where is that? I told Ryan to follow me. I don't worry about him. He better follow. What's happening? You see, now I want you to picture this, guys. When Jesus says follow, you know, sometimes we ask questions. You know what? Well, Lord, you know, Ryan could be like, well, Dad, why don't you just do this? But no, I say follow, right? Thank you, Ryan. Put your hands together for Ryan. But I don't want you to forget this. What following Jesus implies. You know, there's a version in the Bible where it says, Jesus says, if you want me to lead, you can't be in the driver's seat. I gotta drive. But we need to understand Jesus will never take us to a place where he's gonna kill us. He always gonna take us to life. But now that requires trust. There are times in our lives I thought, man, Lord, what are you doing? Man, God, why this turn? Why this sudden turn in our lives? This is when faith comes to life. You know, in this letter, there are four words I want to put emphasis on this morning. Jesus said, I know your works, your love, service, faith, and your patience. You know, the believers in Thyatira, they were commended for growing in good deeds, regardless of the sinfulness surrounding them. Like them, we all should become complacent in our worship and do not stop encouraging each other. You know, last week Kendra talked about let us spur one another. You know, I don't ride horse. But I got to think about it a little bit. Horse lovers, horse riders, and people that ride the horses with the spur, they don't use the spur to hurt the horse. So there is a relationship between the horse, the spur, and the rider. And there's a communication between those three things. You know, and sometimes we don't like to be encouraged. But God, the Bible is calling us to spur one another. You know, and of course, as I talk about these things, I have some questions for you. If you're taking notes, write this, the first question down. Are you growing in good deeds? Are you growing in good deeds? Well, we all know that we are growing older. Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it. Now, if I don't want to look weird with two little things back here, I have to shave my head every week. I don't want to be like Den yet. He's baldy. But I am like Den pretty much. It doesn't matter. Pretty soon I'm going to have to shave it and be shiny like he is. We're all getting older. That's part of growing. Are you growing in the Lord? Are you growing in righteousness? But I just want to stop right there. Are you growing in good deeds, in works? I'm not talking about working to earn God's grace. No, that's not what I'm talking about. There's nothing you can do to earn God's grace. Nothing you will do will shut God's grace on you. Can I have a witness? Nothing you can do to earn His grace. How assuring is this? You see, the problem is, a lot of times you and I, we compare God's love with our earthly parents or earthly people that we are in relationship. Because most of the time, their love is conditional. You know? You do this, and we, even society. You know, it's rough what society does. That's why it's really sad to watch this younger generation putting all their identity on social media and forget about the close community. You know, listening to Jomel, and I'm going back and I realize we are a good family. Can I have a witness? You know, I was like, okay, what are you looking into a church for a church? Think about it. What am I looking for? What would I be looking for in a church? The first thing I'll be looking for is God there. What does that mean? You know, for people who, you know, that question might confuse them. What does that mean, God's there? Well, is the word being preached? Do they talk on holiness? Do they give time for an altar call? You know? What about love? Do they love each other? Is it a community? You know, the word community comes from two words, common unity. Is there unity? Common unity. That's why when you're part of a family, you don't feel bad when the family serves you. But also, you shouldn't feel bad when you are required to serve the family. In a family, everybody has responsibility and privileges. That's how it is in God's family. We all have responsibilities. We all have privileges. The word says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works." Now remember, once again, I'm not talking about good works that gets you to earn God's love. I'm talking about your faith that causes you to do good things. Faith that match with your action. What do they say in English? Your walk, talk louder than your talk, right? Because talk is cheap. It's a lot easier to tell people things. It's a lot harder to live out those things, you know. That's why a kingdom person is a person of character, is a person of ethic. It's the same person every time, all the time, everywhere. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has prepared work for us to do. And that's why we fail because we try to do it on our own. We cannot do it on our own. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. And I love what the word says. It says, apart from me, Jesus said, apart from me, there's nothing you can do. You can't do anything. Man, I can rely on Jesus' strength. I can trust the word and I can accept the word. See, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the works that Paul's talking about here, those works are done in the strength of Christ by God's grace, not our own strength. We can't do it. The way of works is the way of life. I read from 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. He says, He who does the will of God abides forever. Now listen to this. He who does the will of God abides forever. Because doing the will of God puts you automatically in eternal life. That's what's going to make the difference between you and religious people. Religious people, they follow a bunch of wolves, but those wolves can't give them a new heart. But then when you are transformed by the renewal of your mind through the word of God, then you come, you understand what it means to do the will of God. You understand what it means to please God in everything I do. You understand what it pleases God to in your relationships, at work, everywhere you go. I read from Matthew chapter 21, chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. It says, "Not everyone who said to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." This is a scary verse. Not everyone who calls Jesus, not everyone who says, "Oh, say a prayer," You know, now, before anybody goes through tough time, everybody says, "See, would you say a prayer to who?" You know, I know this, you know, this, what I'm saying right now could sound very judgmental. It's not judgmental. But to who are you praying to? So you have no relationship with Jesus, and you've never confessed him as your Lord. You're not living for him, and all of a sudden you're going through tough time, and you're like, "Jesus, where are you? What are you talking about?" It doesn't work like that. I've got three children. I know their voices. They know my voice. Now, I could walk out there and find some teenager calling, "Hey, Dad, Dad." I could be like, "Well, yeah, I am a dad, but I'm not their dad. I'm not every teenager's out there's dad. I know my children." But God had made a way, and I think I have that verse, John 3:16. A verse most people should know. How does it go? Help me out. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him will have" what? "Eternal life." So therefore, God has made it possible so everybody out there could become his sons and daughters. Are you growing in good deeds? "Not everyone who call me Lord, who says Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven." But Jesus says in Matthew, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Who? Meaning, this verse means, get away from me because you've been in church, but you've never known me. You've been in church, but you never took the time to really develop a relationship with me. That's why I tell you, it breaks my heart that still today, some people are looking for a service. You know, there are people that just want to go to a service. You go and, you know, they want to send someone to God for them. "I can't go to God for you." Yes, I intercede for you, I pray for you, but I can't save you. You got to make sure you have your own meter. If you don't have your own water meter, you have no water. You can't bench on my water meter spiritually, okay, spiritually. And literally too. Watch for that neighbor who will hook on your water heater when you go on vacation. It dig your heart. I don't know if people do that, but that would be funny, you know. Really bad too. It dig your heart and hook, tee off your water heater and cap their water heater. Spiritually, you cannot do that. You need your own meter. You need your own water meter. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 14. It says, read it. James chapter 1, verse 14. The New Living Translation. Thank you, Lord. Are you growing in good deeds? James 1, 14. Actually, James chapter 2, 14. It said, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see another brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, 'Goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, and eat well,' but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead unless and useless. Verse 18. Now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me you have faith if you don't have good deeds? You see the contrast? But I will show you my faith by my good deeds. This verse here tells me, you kingdom citizens, you don't really, you wouldn't ever have to preach verbally if your action would be guided by the word. You would never have to say anything about Jesus. People should ask, "Well, how come you always have peace? How come everything's going crazy around you, but you still have joy? Or how come you're going through menopause and you're not going crazy? All right, I close that door right away. I close that window. I close that window. Come back, come back, come back. You know, you can fill out the blank. You know, how come, even for Jo Mel, how come, I remember visiting her a couple of times, how come, you know, you're laying on that bed, your back's not working, but yeah, man, she's still like, I trust you, Lord, the pain's crazy, but I trust you, Jesus, I praise you. How come? How come you're not cursing God going through what you're going through? Well, then you would have an answer. You let your action, your faith in Christ, influence your action. You see, in this world you have trouble. These are the words of Jesus. He says, in this world you will have trouble. But I give you what? Come on, guys, help me out. In this world you will have trouble, but what happened? I give you my peace. And I don't give you peace like the world gives. Remember, the world's peace is fully temporary. Oh, fully temporary. There's no peace in the world. But there's peace in Jesus. And unless you've tasted and you know what I'm talking about, you think I'm crazy. Yeah, but I love it because 1 Corinthians answered that question for me. It says, for the ones that are perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness. You know, some people would say, well, why are you always talking about Jesus? Why are you always talking about God? Let me tell you this, if you didn't know this. If you didn't know it, I'm going to remind you. God is the center of it all. Jesus is the center of it all. So I don't talk about Jesus. What are you talking about? Because we sing it earlier, right? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. That saved who? Like what? Not like you, but like me. I don't know about you, but like me. I was lost. There are a lot of people out there that are lost. And they're still trying to find their way. And Jesus said, I'm the truth. I'm the way and the life. That's why I tell you, there's no time for you to keep living a yo-yo Christian life. There's no time for you to live a yo-yo Christian life. You know what yo-yo Christian life means? Up and down. Up and down. Because God wants you to be healthy spiritually so you could intercede for this lost world out there. You know, the enemy wants you to just dwell in your sin, dwell in your shortcoming, dwell in trouble with family, unforgiveness, bitterness, sexual sin, addiction, so you never experience true freedom. There's nothing like the chains are broken. You come before God. You know, yeah, we've got issues. We've got things that beat us down on a daily basis. You've got worries. But there's nothing like coming before God free. Knowing who I am in Christ. And then you can intercede for the world. God will give you a burden for this world. Let me tell you this. The angels are not in heaven interceding for the world. If you're still on earth, God wants you to pray. He wants you to praise Him. So I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good, good for you. Even the demons believe this. But they trembled in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Now, that's a question to all of us. Can we see that? Can we see that? So therefore, that's what Jesus is saying. I know your works. So are you growing in good works and good deeds? My challenge to you with this question today, make sure you're growing in good deeds. We don't know the day, We don't know the hour. You know, something that really affecting our culture in Haiti right now, last night in France, there's a young artist, 41 years old, loved by a lot of people, even a lot of the Haitian music. He's a Haitian star, performing in Paris in front of over 20,000 people. Just dropped dead in a heart attack. Full of life. Full of hope. I mean, that news shocked everybody. Because he's well loved. And he promote the culture. You know, goodness in man. We pray for his family. But I got to think pretty much all night. I'm like, wow, you know what? Tomorrow is not promised. We plan for tomorrow. I've got plan. You've got plan. We all have plan. But guess what? You and I have right now. Are you growing in good deeds? Do you have peace with people? Now remember, without peace, no one will see God. It says, seek for peace with everybody. Seek for peace. As much as it depends on you, take the blame. It's liberating. It's not fun. You know what they say? Bitterness is allowing someone to live rent-free in your mind. I mean, who wants that? You would be a bad investor. You bought a rental property and you just, hey, rent, free rent. Nobody does that. You'll find full of people. Plenty of people. I want you to write this question. And don't forget about it. Meditate on it. Find answers. And ask God, what are some ways I need to grow in good deeds? You know, the next one is love. Are you growing in love? God is the ultimate example of love. We cannot love outside from God. If you want to love people, you don't love God, it's impossible. Now listen to what it says in John 3:16. Well, you guys just help me out. You know it. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, come on, hey, be saved. Wow. Verse 18 says, he who believes in him is not condemned. You see, that's what religion makes us think. Religion gives us a mindset to approach before God with a condemning mindset. Oh, man, this is holy God, you know. I mean, there is a verse religious people use in the Old Testament. It says, you know, God is in holy temple. Let everyone be silent. Now remember, God doesn't mess around. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change. But it is because of Jesus, and it is because of Jesus I can come to him. And it is because of the blood. Because of the blood, we can come to God. And everybody think God is just like, hey, what's up, God? Come on, cool dude, God. What? You study 1st and 2nd Chronicles, the priest, the 1st and 2nd King, Leviticus, and you realize, man, even the person that God allows to come before him, he give them a bunch of things they have to do before they come. And they better make sure when they come, they're not fooling anybody. And some people, some priests actually tried. But God says, before they come, you got to tie a rope in their waist. Because if they come, they think they can fool my presence. I'm going to kill them. I think we all should say, thank God for Jesus. That's why when you read Revelation chapter 6, the last verse says, who will be able to stand? Who will be able to stand before the Lord? Brothers and sisters, we need to pray for the world. We need to pray for your neighbors. When you walk around your neighborhood, you pray, you say, God, bring them to salvation. Bring them to salvation. And hold tight to what you have. I'm going to read that again. Verse 18 says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than the light. Amen. Still today. That's why I tell you, praise the Lord if you see you have a passion for light, for righteousness. This flesh is doomed. I mean, Jesus says the flesh is weak, but your spirit is willing. Your flesh will always want to do bad things. This flesh will never convert. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, be renewed. Renew your mind with the word. So you get to learn how to conduct this body in the will of God. That's what it means. I read the Bible. I go to Bible studies. I am part of a common unity group. You know, we're growing together in the Lord, and I learn, okay, some of us, I tell you, I'm not saying here, but people out there. Let's say for smoking addiction. I seriously can't get it if a believer loves yourself and you see your body as the temple of the Holy Spirit to constantly be smoking, destroying your precious lung. And your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That in itself. You should have reverence. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And not only that, just feeding it junk too. Because there's a lot of junk food in America. I know what I'm talking about. Okay, I'm from the Caribbean. We eat organic, good food. All right? Yeah, man. We know what we're talking about. So I want all of you to think that way. Because a lot of time when we think about the way, oh, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, we're thinking about sexual sin. I'm going to talk about next week, about that next week. It's, you know, some of us like, oh, yep, I'm good. I'm done with that. You know, you've been, maybe your husband died or you feel like, yeah, I'm done with that thing. But it's not that. Only. It's the way we eat. The way we drink. Be aware how you treat the temple of the Holy Spirit. Be aware of what you feed in your mind. What you're watching on TV. Even some of the news. Toxic stuff we eat. I know your works. I know your love. Are you growing in love? I know that's a touchy subject here. We all can love more. But now there's another side of it. Are you allowing others to love you? Some people, they're so hard on themselves. They can't receive love. Let me tell you this, if you're like that. Receive the love, man. Let your family loves you. You know, have you ever given someone a hug? Who's not a hugger, you give him a hug. You know? For those of us that are huggers, you're like, yeah, man. Receive the love. Receive it. Allow God to love you. Go out there and know that you are wonderfully accepted. You love by God. I rebuke the voice of the enemy in your mind telling you not enough. You'll never be enough. You know, you're ugly. You should have been yellow. There's a big fight out there. It's the work of the enemy. All over the world. Dividing God's people. You know, the division starts up here. You know, you black. You white. You too tall. you're too skinny. Oh, I rebuke that in God's church. There's no room for racism in God's church. There's no room for racism. God accepted all. And I tell you, I'm reading Revelation again. It says every tongue, every nation, and every people. So if you're racist, I'm sorry for you. You might sleep outside in the heaven. Can you believe it? I'm like, this is the word of the Lord. How come we don't kick, we don't burn racism in God's church? It's unacceptable. And if you think you're lesser than anybody else, please, repent. Receive the love. Receive it. Because God created you awesome. And you are awesome. You know, some of us, we grew up, our family, your dad or your mom told you, you know, called you worthless. You know, I know in Haiti, there's a couple kids, I tell you, their parents named them according to what the situation they were going through. And we knew somebody, a couple people. I mean, their parents call them misery. Misery. I mean, there's another girl, their parents call her sadness. Oh, man. There's another one, their parents call her pain. Souffrance. Pain. You know, and there's another guy, their parents called him severe God because they saw God as a severe God. So they had a kid, they called the kid severe God. So here, this kid's growing up thinking, man, God is just a severe father. I don't want anything to do with him. Because that's our default. We think, well, if this guy's weird, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to run as far away from him. So you have peace of mind. But I'm here to remind you, God loves you. Oh, he's pleased with you. You know, I love Romans chapter 5. Verse 23, it says, while you were still in your mess, oh, he's still crazy about you. This is the good news. While you think, man, I don't deserve God's grace, Sandra shared it with this morning. He's like, why? I don't get it. God's like, man, I'm so in love with you. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament. God told a prophet to fall in love with this prostitute to show the Israelites how much he is madly in love with him. I mean, from a man's perspective, I'm like, God, I'll follow you, Lord, but there's no way I'm going to keep falling in love with a prostitute. No way. God's like, no, you got to take her in because I want the Israelites to know that's how much I love them. In their mess. Guys, this news in itself is enough to make you excited to come to Abba. Are you growing in love? You can read 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Oh, is the word of God gives life, amen? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It says, dear friends, let us continue to love another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is God's children and knows God. Now I want you to know, acknowledge two things here. Anyone who loves is God's child and know God. If you are able to love, you know God. If you can't love, question your knowing of God. By anyone, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If you are in relationship with God, there is no room in your heart for hate. Oh, sometimes you would want to hate. Oh, I can testify. There are people in my life, man, I just want to hate them. I'd even tried to hate them. As a matter of fact, I even almost succeed in hating them. I even kill them up here. I kill them. They're dead, buried, done. And then I'm spending time with Jesus in the Word. I'm like, I'm getting convinced by the Word and the Holy Spirit. You know, I mean, come on, dude. You can't love God and hate people. You know, there's a saying out there. It says you can't pretend you love God and you treat people like trash. You're disrespecting them. I mean, even politically, there might be a candidate you don't like. Be respectful. Love them where they are. Pray for them. Instead of going all out on social media or, you know, wisdom. Are you growing in love? God showed how much He loves us by sending us His Son, His one and only Son, into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love, that we love God. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us. And His love is brought to full expression in us. And I think that's where the church has fallen for decades. We have failed to love. Now remember, love is not tolerance. In love, you accept people where they're at. But we judge people. It's not our place to judge anyone. It's God's place. But it is our call to love them. And the next one would be, my next question would be, are you growing in serving others? Luke chapter 22 verse 27 says, who is more important? The one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course. But not, I'm not here, for I am among you as one who serves. You know, this, you can read that in your Bible later, Luke chapter 27, when Jesus was eating on the table with His disciples, the Lord's Supper. And He told them, He says, guys, I come to serve. There's another story in Mark where the disciples had an argument among themselves. Good discussion. I could assume maybe Peter come up with that question. You know, guys, who do you think is the greatest? You know? I mean, you know, think about it. Because Jesus, among His 12 disciples, He had three of them He would take with Him everywhere He goes. A lot of, you know, intimate places up to the mountain, praying with Jairus' daughter, and a lot of other things. He would even send them on special assignment. So before you know it, they started thinking, well, man, I'm actually closer to Jesus than Thomas. That's the wrong mindset. Jesus called them, he's like, guys, who's the greatest in the kingdom? And He told them, He says, in the world, this is how it works. The greatest is the big shots, you know, they've got lots of money, they rule over people. But in the kingdom of heaven, it's the servants of them all. Are you growing in serving others? Last week, Kendra talked about that with the women's and Sunday morning. I don't know if you guys remember. Are you serving your church? Now remember, I am thankful each person serving this church. But let me tell you this. If you still, there's no retirement in Jesus. If your mind, if the devil is whispering in your ears, oh, I've done this already. Guess what? He's trapping you. Until God calls you home, He still wants to use you. He still wants you to serve people. Are you growing in serving others at home? In your community? And talking about community, talking about your church. And the next one in Revelation I want to touch is the next question is, are you growing in faith? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, it is completely impossible to please God without faith. Do you believe God for your circumstance? Do you believe Him? Oh, I believe Him. I put all my hope in Him. Are you growing in patience? You know, Jesus said here in Revelation chapter 2, I know your works. I know your love. I know your service. I know your faith and your patience. And my question to you this morning, are you growing in love? Are you growing in good deeds? Are you growing in serving others, in serving your community? Look for ways to serve your church. Look for ways. If you don't know, talk to us. Say, Pastor, what can I do? Oh, believe me, I have something for you. Okay? And don't say you can't do anything. All of you here, I see it. That's why I say, come talk to me. I'll tell you what you can do. You know, and if you're obedient, you will be fulfilled. Why? Because you're like, man, I didn't know I could do that. And then later I'm like, I told you so. You know, you're going in your faith. And I want to finish with this, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ Jesus. Remember how you remained faithful, even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten. And nowadays, none of us have been beaten. All of us here, none of us have suffered that. I pray for boldness, backbones, to continue to be a representative for Jesus Christ at your job, in this world, wherever you go. It says here, you suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. And when all you earned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You know, it's like Christians, I pray that, you know, we need to remember that there are Christians right now that are suffering for their faith. So there is no time for us to be, you know, be pitying yourself. You know, it's like, oh man, oh, my back hurts. I can't come to church. I can't go to home group. No, my head hurts. You know, I tell you, go. That's not suffering. Find your community and invest in it. It says, so do not throw away your confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that promise, that He's promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous one will live by faith. What did it say? My righteous one will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. So if you have ear this morning, let you hear. Let me tell you this. If anyone here this morning needs to repent, come to the cross. If you're watching online and the Lord's speaking to your heart, you need to come to the altar. You can do it at home. You know, there's no pressure. For anybody, I'm invite the worship team to come up and we're going to sing Waymaker, right? And Lord, as we sing this song, just give the Holy Spirit a chance in your life. Respond to the word of the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. Oh, thank you, Father. We receive it, Lord. Are we growing in love? Are we growing in good deeds? Are we growing in patience? Are we growing in serving others? Would you answer to the word of the Lord this morning?